Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco, and each week, we bring guests to help you with tools, tips, and strategies to make work more productive for you, or for you to experience more success at work or in your entrepreneurial business. And we have got a powerhouse of a show for you today. Our first guest has got quite a bit of experience and is going to be giving us some career advice on what you need to excel in your professional and personal work experience. And our second guest is going to be teaching you how to break through those barriers that may be preventing you and holding you back from success, and both at work as well as personally. And I can't wait to get started here. Our first guest has got quite the resume. I'll tell you, our first guest is Lisa Quast, and she has spent more than 20 years climbing the corporate ladder in corporate America with groundbreaking career success in traditionally male-dominated companies and industries. Lisa is a former executive vice president and general manager of strategic planning for Philips Healthcare. Prior to that, she held positions for Philips as vice president of global service marketing and as the director of business development. She has also worked in management positions for Medtronic and Toshiba. Early in her career, Lisa defined her aspirations. It was determined to just make it happen. Lisa has generated so much praise throughout her career, including being the youngest winner of the President's Award at Toshiba America Medical Systems, the first female service director at Medtronic Physical Control, and the first female service vice president and executive vice president of strategic planning of Philips Healthcare. Lisa was also honored by Puget Sound's Business Journal as one of the top 40 under 40 business leaders in the greater Seattle area. Lisa, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you, Deanne.
Yeah, it's just really exciting. Now that you have left corporate America and you're now a career coach and mentor, is that correct?
Yes.
And so you teach women how to create careers, strategic plans for themselves. I mean, that sounds huge to me. What does a career strategic plan look like, and why is it really important for women to do that?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, when you say career strategic plan, it sounds really difficult and maybe even scary.
It does. It really sounds like a big mountain to climb.
Well, what I like to tell women is it might sound difficult or scary, but it's really not. And you'd be surprised. Women all over the world do strategic planning every day, and they don't even realize that they're doing it. All a career strategic plan really is it's just a roadmap that you create that helps get you to your career destination. So it gets you from where you are today to where you want to go in the future. You know, a great analogy of that is we're coming up on the summer months, and I'm sure that a lot of the listeners are planning vacations.
Sure.
So let's say that you decided that you were going to take your family to Disneyland or Disney World. You would probably do different things to figure out how you get there, right? Are you going to fly? Are you going to drive, take a train? Should you buy tickets ahead of time? Should you buy it at the door? What will the weather be like? What kind of clothes should we wear? All of those kinds of things are strategic decisions. So those are actions you're going through to get you from your house, wherever you live, to your vacation destination. That's what I like to think about when you think of a career strategic plan. It's really looking at where you at right now, deciding where you want to be in the future. So it might be a higher level job. It might be a job in a different department. And then once you've identified that goal, it's working backwards to figure out what are the actions that I need to take to get me there.
Mm.
And the great part about it is if you plan that out, the reason it's important is it can help you get to your goal faster and more efficiently. And that's really why you would want to do it.
Well, that makes sense. So what I think I'm getting from this is that whether you are going to be a corporate professional or whether you're going to be an entrepreneur, you still need to come up with a strategic plan for yourself.
Right.
So like when you, I mean, when you really climb the corporate ladder here, all the way up to the executive vice president position, so you plan that out ahead of time. What was it going to take for me to get there, and then what I needed to do to get there?
Exactly. And it's funny, you had mentioned on the intro, one of the things that I really did early in my career is I defined what my career aspirations were going to be. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I either want to make it all the way to the executive level of a Fortune 500 company, or you know what? I just might want to own my own company someday. And it was funny because I was working on a marketing plan for a product one time when I worked back at Toshiba. And so it was a medical product. And as I was laying out the marketing plan for that, I kind of thought, you know, this is really funny because I wonder if I could apply these same techniques to my own career and think of myself as a product and my career as a business that I would manage. And so I started planning it out. And it was funny because there are so many things that are business techniques, such as strategic planning and marketing planning, that you can actually apply to your own career. So what I did is I said, okay, those are my goals, either executive level at a Fortune 500 company or own my own business. And then I worked backwards to figure out what did I need to do to get there. So I went around and I would ask all the people that I knew that were really successful executives what it took for them to get there. And what did they feel like were the most important attributes that they had, either, you know, it might be their background, their skills or experience, but that made them really good at what they did. And I made this huge long list. And then I started going through it saying, okay, which of these skills do I have? Which do I need? So it was kind of a gap analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what I did. I created a list of actions, so that became my strategic plan for what I was going to do to be able to get where I wanted to go.
I like that. And I like the sentence that you said. You said you think of yourself as a product. And that was
Absolutely.
The rest of it.
So, and that was actually what I figured out was the key to my success is I had to treat my career like it was a business and treat myself like a competitive product that I then worked to improve every single year. And the reason that I think it's helpful is because if you think of yourself as a product, then you can kind of take a step back and evaluate yourself from a less emotional standpoint.
I can see that. That actually makes perfect sense to me. So what brought you to taking charge of your career by using a strategic plan?
You know, it was one of those days where I was in a job I really didn't like, and I was working for a manager that she kind of seemed jealous of all of her employees, and I just thought, oh, good grief, this is not where I want to end up for the rest of my life in my career. But at the time, I really didn't know what I wanted. And so by treating myself as a product, it gave me the opportunity to explore everything that was out there that was a possibility for my career and then figure out which were the directions that I was really excited about and which were the areas I wasn't excited about.
Huh. You know, as a former executive VP, I mean, that's pretty high up for Fortune 500. I mean, you're obviously an expert in this whole area of strategic planning. Can you maybe give us a few examples of what a strategic planning technique might be that we could use in ourselves?
Definitely. One of my favorites, and I'm sure you guys, the listeners, have probably always heard this, but maybe wondered what this acronym stood for, is a SWOT analysis. SWOT stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So this is something that companies use every year or whenever they're going through their strategic planning process, is they look at and assess themselves and their competitors, and then they use that information from the SWOT analysis as part of the input into the strategic planning.
Hmm.
So what you end up doing from a personal standpoint is you look at, well, hey, what are my strengths, you ask yourself. And if you're picturing yourself as a competitive product, it's easier. So a strength could be something that you use to differentiate yourself from other people in the job market. So mm-hmm. it might be, oh, let's say maybe you have project management skills or process improvement, or you're really good at presenting in front of large audiences. So those would be great strengths. And then you look out, what are your weaknesses? So those are things that you could either improve upon to get that future job opportunity, or that, you know, maybe it's just something that you've always wanted to work on. And so things that could be weaknesses might be a fear of public speaking, or, you know, maybe you have a difficult time finishing things and maybe you could use some time management training. The great part is if you think about yourself as a product, then as you uncover weaknesses, it gives you ideas on what you can do, where I was mentioning, to upgrade yourself and improve yourself every year.
And then
when you think about the threats and the opportunities, the O and the T part of that, I like to kind of look at those together. And the best way to do that is if you're, let's say you're looking at a potential job, and maybe one of the job requirements is that you have a 4-year college degree. So a threat might be that other candidates that apply would have a college degree, but maybe you don't. Your opportunity is, what could you do in place of that? Could you go to night school to finish your bachelor's? Maybe could you figure out a way to use your experience, your years of experience, and show a hiring manager that those years of experience equate to a bachelor's degree. So things like that. So what I like to do is use that SWOT analysis. Mm-hmm. You can use it as a standalone, sure, and just evaluate yourself. But a lot of times it's easier if you pick a job in the future that you'd like, look at the job description and see what the requirements are, and then rate yourself. So which are the requirements that are a strength for you, and which are the job requirements that might be a weakness? And when you look at who might also apply for the job, what skills do you think they might have that you don't? Or what skills do you have that would be an opportunity for you to differentiate yourself?
You know, I really love that. I mean, so many times, I don't think we ever think about, I know I didn't in my career, ever thought about who else might apply for this job. Mm-hmm. I never gave that a thought. And if I had, I might have done exactly as you had said, maybe really fine-tuned my strengths so they can come across as filling those gaps. Never gave that a thought. Who else could fill that job? And so I think that could fit in, even as an entrepreneur, that could work. I mean, even if you had a pizza parlor, who else could my customer buy their pizza from? And what can I do to differentiate myself to be the pizza parlor to go to?
Absolutely. And that's what's so great about all these business techniques, is that you really can apply them to yourself. And if you're interested in being an entrepreneur and you try applying these techniques to yourself, you're going to be way ahead of the game when you want to start your own company, because you'll already understand strategic planning and marketing planning.
Boy, I really love that. You know, we need to take a quick break here. One of the things I want to talk about is you talk about women need to shark tank themselves at work. And I'm really interested in talking more about that, but we need to break away here for just a few seconds. So this is Deanne DeMarco on today's Inspiring Women, and we'll be right back.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS Store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's DEANNE@deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we have got Lisa Cost on the line, and she is giving us some great tips on how to help us with personal and professional strategic planning. You know, and Lisa, one of the things that you talk about is that women need to shark tank themselves at work. And I love the TV show Shark Tank. And for those of you who don't know, Shark Tank is where aspiring entrepreneurs pitch their business ideas to potential investors. And all these investors are millionaires or multimillionaires. And so they're not only marketing their ideas, but selling themselves as well. So you say that it's key for anyone trying to get ahead in their career that you need to shark tank yourself. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I'm like you. I love that show Shark Tank. But the reason that I love it is because it's really so similar to real life business, especially when it comes to your career. So as you mentioned, these aspiring entrepreneurs come on and they pitch their product to the potential investors. And the investors are looking for the person to sell them on why they should invest in the product. So what that person that is the entrepreneur has to get across is, here's what's special and unique about my product, and here's why somebody would want to buy it, and here are the needs in the marketplace that my product would satisfy, right?
Correct.
So when it comes to real life in your career, that's also what you're doing almost on a daily basis, but definitely when you're trying to go for either a promotion or a different job, right? So you need to understand what your strengths are and your weaknesses and be able to pitch to that hiring manager, this is why I'm the best candidate that you should hire. And it's funny because as a hiring manager, one of the questions that I always ask candidates is, why should I hire you over all the other candidates. And I might even point to a huge stack of resumes that I have sitting on my desk. So in other words, what I want them to tell me is the same thing as the investors on Shark Tank, which is what is so special and unique about you as a product or your background and skills that I should invest in hiring you for this position. And that's what Shark Tanking at Work is really all about. It's the ability to sell yourself to hiring managers and to senior management that you're the best person for the job.
Very interesting. You know, I had Barbara Corcoran on their show once, and one of the things that she talked about is that these entrepreneurs come out and they have to actually stand there for like 10 minutes before they're allowed to say a word. And they do a lot of sizing up ahead of time. And I'm just thinking about that and going, you know, that's really true. I mean, all of us have times at work when we're not showcasing ourselves. We're just kind of like standing there and wondering if people are not sizing us up based upon things we may not even be saying or doing.
Well, and it's interesting that you point that out because you could have a parallel to when you're going on a job interview, right? This is what I would do. I always let the office manager or the person sitting that would check people in, I always told everybody when there was a candidate coming in. And so everybody would observe the candidate from the time that they were walking in the door to sitting in the waiting room to maybe the time when the HR business partner walked them to the next building over where my office was. And after the interviews, I would talk to each person that had had any interaction whatsoever with that candidate, and I would get their opinion of what they thought. So it's a little along the same line is you have to realize you're always being sized up.
I love that. I love that. I didn't realize that. I never did that. I should have done that. When I was a hiring manager, I should have done what you did. That was a good strategy. But, I just think it's really, really interesting. You know, this whole idea of seeing yourself as a product is just, eye-opening for me. You know, and we've heard the word about branding ourselves over and over when it comes to business marketing and competition. How can women use their own personal branding to kind of set themselves apart from the other people?
Well, branding is definitely what I'd call a buzzword, and it seems like it's been used a lot when it comes to business, and now you hear it about personal branding.
Right.
You know, and how it can help you get ahead in your career. In my opinion, personal branding is really all about understanding what are your strengths and then using those strengths to differentiate yourself and then get credibility and recognition from the right people. And that might be people within your company or even, you know, within your industry. A great example of that, I had a client, I'll call her Stacy. So she had gotten her project management certification, and her problem was that she just felt like she wasn't getting projects. She wanted to be able to lead large global projects, but management just wasn't seeing her. She didn't have a really well-known reputation within that company. And so what she learned as we worked through the exercises in my book is that she really needed to figure out what were those qualities that made her special and unique when it came to project management. And then knowing that, what could she do to make sure that more people within the company, the right people, actually knew about her skills and abilities? And so she came up with an entire list that we brainstormed, and she started doing things like free brown bag lunchtime training sessions on what she called Project Management 101. So she would train other employees who had never had experience with project management. She actually stepped up. She started volunteering for projects. She got approval from her manager, and then she provided a day-long project management training for all the employees that were in her department. And then she just made it known and would tell people that, hey, if you have any questions or if you get stuck on a project, come see me, and I'd be happy to help you. The great part was that those are all personal branding techniques, right? So she was creating the image she wanted other people to see of who she was as this expert who could step in and lead projects. And over time, that's what happened, is she started being asked to lead large global projects. So it's really about figuring out what's that barrier to why I'm not getting where I want to go, and then creating an action plan using business techniques to get you there.
Boy, again, I really, really, really like that. You know, there may be some listeners out there who are saying, you know, this sounds really, really good, but I'm really confused on where to begin. So what recommendations or advice would you have for those women who are just saying, where should I start?
The first thing that I would say is define your overall aspiration. It's hard to, you know, go somewhere if you don't know where it is you want to go. So first, define where you want to go. Do you want to be known as the best project manager in your company? Do you want to get the job, let's say, of a creative director at a large advertising? Whatever your goal is, define it first. Mm-hmm. Once you've got that defined, then go do some research, like what I did, right? I went to all these people who were successful executives and said, what did it take for you to get where you're at? So look at people who have made it to where you want to go, and look at the things that they did to get known, either in the company or in the industry, and learn from what these others are doing. And it might be great things that they're doing, or you might go, oh, wow, that's kind of odd. Or they may even say, if I had to do it again, I would never do this. Then look at who are your biggest competitors, and what are they doing to brand themselves. Mm. And once you have all of that information, look at yourself. What brand do you want to convey, right? What are your brand attributes going to be? So how do you want people to perceive you? Just like my client Stacy had done, she defined what those attributes were. Then figure out, okay, that's what I want to be, and that's how I want to be known. So where am I at right now? Look at your current state. How do people currently perceive you, and what is the gap? How large is the gap between the current you and then the person that you want others to perceive you to be?
Mm-hmm.
And you figure out what needs to change and why, and then create your game plan. So that could be just about anything, but it really needs to include all the aspects of you. It could be the tangible, it could be the intangible things. If, for example, what I found when I decided I wanted to be an executive is I needed to change my image. So I got a different hairstyle that was more current, that looked very sleek and professional. I hired a personal stylist to help me evolve my wardrobe so that I looked like an executive. So it might be those kinds of little intangible things you might not think of at first that help you promote your own brand.
Well,
finally,
go on.
I was just going to say, and then finally, it's about managing your brand. It's following where you're at. Are you accomplishing what you wanted to? And then if there's anything you need to change.
You know, I really love that. I want to do a quick recap here. You know, first you talked about defining what your aspiration is to be the best at X. So what do you want to be the best of? Do some research. Talk to others who have already made it. Then you said who you are.
Define your brand attributes.
Your current
state.
Your current state, where you are now, where you want to be, and then manage your brand.
Yep.
I love that.
Create that game plan and then go for it.
You know, you have a book out. Is a lot of this information in your book?
It is. It's all in the book. And It's called Your Career, Your Way. And what I did is I took two fictional characters. I named them Mackenzie and Cheryl. And they go through the whole process of completing a career strategic plan. And it's really fun. Each chapter has exercises. And as you complete an exercise in one chapter, it builds for the next chapter until at the end of the book, you have your very own one-page career strategic plan.
Oh, I like that. It's called Your Career, Your Way. How do people get a hold of that book?
It is available on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can get it in paperback or in ebook.
Oh, cool. And what else do you, what other services do you provide?
I'm a business consultant, so I work in the area of strategic planning, marketing, and talent development for companies all over the world. In addition, I'm an executive coach, so companies hire me to coach managers to become executives, and I'm also a career coach, so individuals at any level can hire me personally to coach them.
Oh, that's really good. You know, I just love your process. I just think that's a really, really good one. And as far as looking at yourself as a product and then what's making you unique, special and unique, so people will buy you the product. I just really love that. You know, I can't believe our time is up and has just flown by here. Why don't you give us a website on how people get hold of you?
Absolutely. It's www.careerwomaninc.com.
Careerwomaninc.com. And again, the name of the book was called Your Career, Your Way. And let me just spell your last name for our listeners. It's Lisa, L-I-S-A, and it's Q-U-A-S-T. And it's cost that rhymes with lost.
Yep, I always tell people it rhymes with lost, but really I'm not.
You're really not. Well, again, Lisa, thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women. You gave us some great advice.
Well, thanks. And if I can leave the listeners with one thought, it's that they should treat their career as a business and treat themselves as a competitive product that they keep on improving year after year.
I love that. Thank you very much. You know, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to break through those barriers that might be preventing your success. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
You
are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we have got a very interesting guest for our second guest speaker. And Kay Server is a woman who helps people see what they could not see, change what they could not change, and achieve what they could not achieve. That is, until now. You know, whether she's wearing a hard hat on the job site or 3-inch heels in the corporate office, Kay Server is focused on removing barriers to change. And she believes that all change begins in the mind, which means that barriers in the way we think about change must be addressed as the first step in the change process. I can't wait to talk to her about this. Kay has graduated from Purdue's University School of Management, and she has over 30 years of hands-on mobile and fixed plant equipment processes and their associated support functions, which includes maintenance, purchasing and accounting, and as well as number. She is a certified quality improvement, and she has earned her CMC. Kay, welcome to Today's Inspiring Women.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I just love you in your yellow hard hat. Our listeners can't see that, but if you go to Kay's website, you'll see her in her yellow hard hat. I just love that. You know, when you talk about change and about breaking through these barriers, how did you get started in looking at this?
Well, I will tell you, I have been helping companies improve performance for years. And first, actually, as an employee who was involved in what turned out to be an absolutely amazingly successful program, the level of success that most companies all just basically dream about. And then there was a merger, and I decided to go into consulting and improvement and have been working with companies for almost 15 years. And as I worked with each company came with its own unique set of problems and own unique culture. And every scope of work that I was asked to do was different, which was great because it gave me a huge overarching perspective on the change process. But what it led me to was beginning to question the concept and the processes we use for change and have used for a long time in corporations, because I was following the recipe for change and I led them through the recipe, and yet we achieved varying levels of success. We weren't always able to get what we wanted to get, even though we followed the recipe. And so about 3 years ago, I really started an in-depth focus on what was holding us back. And it led me to not 20 reasons, not 10 reasons, but ultimately the same 2 or 3 reasons at the end of the day why we weren't able to get there.
Interesting.
And so those barriers then, I began just delving in, peeling the levels of the onion back, and just discovered the sources of those barriers and what we needed to do to fix that.
You know, you're talking about that change should start with getting new perspectives about that whole change process. You know, what specifically do you mean by that?
When I say new perspective, I'm talking about what we believe. I mean, even if we want to go to the gym or go on a diet, what we believe about that process and what we're capable of doing ourselves will ultimately determine our level of success with that. And it's the same with companies. What management teams believe is really, at the end of the day, the secret to how much money they make, what kind of culture they have, how much credibility they have. Because with those beliefs come all the words and actions they use day to day within the management team itself, between the management team and the workforce. So ultimately, all corporate change comes from those beliefs, and there are really 4 of them. What we believe about the change process, what we believe about management's role in change,
what we even believe we can achieve if we start down the change path. And the last one is, what is possible to change? And our beliefs will create barriers that really hinder our success in all four of those areas.
Hmm. Could you just repeat those again real quick? The one is the process about change?
Yes, there's four. What we believe about the change process itself.
Mm-hmm.
What we believe about management's role in change. And that one actually is a huge one in itself. What we believe is possible to change. In other words, how good can we be
mm-hmm.
in a department, in a company, in a whole corporation, in a division? How good can we be? Which is a different question than can we meet budget?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anybody that works in the corporate world, they're challenged every day, month, or year with meeting the budget. Those budget goals are set based on certain beliefs within the management team. Depending on what that management team believes, those goals will either be achievable or not achievable. They will set their people up for success or failure. And regardless of the number they pick, they still may not understand what is possible to achieve with the assets and the employees that they have in place. And so those beliefs are really important to profit, culture, and credibility.
Wow, I love that. To profit, culture, and profitability?
And credibility.
Oh,
management credibility. How much, and you know, at the end of the day, management credibility
wow.
is everything
yeah.
to the management team. Without credibility, they can't get bank loans. Without credibility, they have no trust with their people, or the board of directors. And at some point, especially with senior executives, their credibility enables promotions or basically sets themselves up to be replaced. So what I'm sharing with you about beliefs, about change, affects all of these things. And it's something that's rarely discussed, and I think there's just such a huge lack of awareness about it, regardless of the product or service that a company provides.
So when you're talking about the barriers that that arise, so is the source of these barriers these four items, or these beliefs,
uh-huh.
or is the source something else?
The source is the beliefs of the management team and the management system itself.
Got it.
And that, again, that is something that is overlooked, misunderstood, partly because of where we've started the change process in the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak about this and share this perspective with management teams because it helps them break out of the box that they're in. I really believe the reason that these barriers to change have been overlooked and the barriers to change specifically in the management system have been overlooked for the last 100 years is because of where we started with improvement in corporations 100 years ago, which was in Ford Motor Company. And the intent of Henry Ford was to begin to measure simple things on the production line, to begin looking at consistency as they produce their automobiles and quality, which is all good. We're really happy he did that.
Mm-hmm.
But 100 years later, the focus has been to make those improvement processes more and more complex, like TQM and then Six Sigma in the 80s and
mm-hmm.
Lean in the 90s, very complex improvement processes. But I will tell you that none of those focus on barriers to change, especially in the management system, because they're mm-hmm. all designed to look at business processes.
Yeah. And then a lot of times, I don't know, when I was in corporate America, a lot of times management would come in with what I call the flavor of the month or the book
uh-huh.
of the month club.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'd read some book and they'd say, well, now everybody's got to do this. And I'm
uh-huh.
going, well, that may be great for you, but that's not going to work in my department.
That's right. And they would try it for a while and then go to the next one.
Yeah.
And this is something I've actually written about in my book. I believe that the reason this was happening is because they really didn't understand what was holding them back. They were looking to initiatives that were process-focused to solve their problem, when the real barriers, the things that were the root cause, were in the management system itself, which none of these initiatives addressed.
So what would be an example of a barrier in the management system?
Well, there's several, and I'd like to share a couple of stories, but I'd like to give you an analogy first.
Okay.
And it has to do with auto racing. You know, this the Indianapolis 500 is upon us. It's going to be run very shortly. 33 cars on the track, racing teams working hard to build perfect cars, hire the best driver, train the best pit crews. And so the focus is on the automobile primarily, and the people involved with that automobile in every single case. What if, on the day of the race, there were traffic cones and tree limbs spread all over the track, and it was time to drop the green flag and start the race? People would be jumping out of their chairs, you know, saying, get that stuff off the track. We want these cars to be able to go as fast as possible. So any barrier on the track would not be acceptable in racing.
Mm-hmm.
But in companies, we accept those barriers as we try to change as just something that can't be removed. Can't do anything about that. We've been conditioned to believe this, and our beliefs are not true. And I would like to challenge people listening to think of that if in fact we changed our focus to removing the barriers that are holding us back, how much money could we really make? And how much faster could we really change?
Wow, very interesting. You know, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'm going to dive into this just a little bit more. But this is Deanne DeMarco, today's Inspiring Women. We'll be right back.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
We're tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we are talking to Kay Server, and we're talking about the barriers that prevent companies and people from being successful. You know, just before break, Kay, we were talking about some of those barriers in the management system. Could you maybe give us a specific example of what that might look like?
I can. Many of these barriers are created at a moment in time, literally, in a moment. And it's when management has to make a decision about something that they learn about their company that's new, or a change that they have to make personally to incorporate that change or to make more money or whatever. But it's up to them. And I'll just share a couple of examples with you. One of them, I was helping a corporation that made millions of dollars improve performance and change culture. And a high-level manager that I worked with proudly came to me with a story about the coffee pots in the different plants that he managed, and how he was standardizing the coffee pot, and there was one superintendent that had a coffee pot that was not within his specification. And so he was going to have to do something about this, and he was telling me this story and how this was really a high priority for him. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to him and asked him to call three people into his office that reported to him, all of which were in charge of processes that were million-dollar processes, to have a discussion and set new expectations about what he wanted them to do when they worked together. He refused to have that meeting that was worth millions of dollars to him, but he was more than happy to standardize the coffee pots, which would make no money for him whatsoever. And the point in telling the story is that he had no recognition that the moment that he made the decision not to have that meeting, that there were millions of dollars attached to that decision. In his mind, it was a decision that was just a subjective decision that he could make because he was in management. He was not tying these subjective decisions that he believed he had authority to make to the dollars on the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And these kinds of decisions happen every single day in corporations. There was another gentleman that I'll share a success story with you quickly, that he had been taking responsibility for things in a department that he did not work in, and that particular department was really having struggles being managed effectively, and I was asked to help build their team. I had at one moment had to ask this other gentleman to stop doing what he had been doing for this other department. And it was a real culture change event that happened when he decided to stop. This may sound like something easy, but if I had more time, there's a lot I could share about this particular moment. That gentleman made the change, or made the choice to stop his behavior in order to build the confidence that needed to be built with this other team. And when he made that choice, all kinds of great things happened in his own department, with the other department, with the departments that reported above them. They, in 7 months, went from struggling with meeting their production goal to exceeding it in 7 months. And that one decision with him helped make the difference. And again, he had the courage to make that decision and do the right thing. So in those moments, there's millions of dollars at stake, cultures at stake, trust is at stake, and there's so little awareness within the management team about their power to change in those moments.
It almost sounds like the change definitely starts with the individual.
It does. And when that individual is in management, they have more power over the change process than they realize.
Very, very interesting. So what are the services that you provide?
I had made a decision a few years ago that if I was not able to solve this problem, that it would be difficult for me to continue as a consultant, not because I wasn't confident in my abilities to bring professional and high-level quality services to companies, but because there was no solution out there for the problem that I've described to you today, for management's role in change and their awareness of how they create barriers in the change process and how their choices can remove those barriers. So I have actually created the only management training program that teaches management teams how to recognize and remove their barriers to change. And it can be done in just a few days with some follow-up coaching and mentoring that's flexible depending on what the company's looking for and what they need. I also offer services as an executive change coach to the executive team because at the end of the day, all culture comes from them.
Mm-hmm.
Many executives don't see it that way. They mm-hmm. even think the workforce generates the culture in some cases. And leading them through the change process is very personal, and it requires some personal choices that has to be made by every individual. And some of those choices aren't always easy.
Mm-hmm.
I specialize in performance optimization and removing barriers in that area, also in helping companies actually understand the potential and financially, the potential they can achieve financially if they remove those barriers.
And how do people get hold of you?
They can find me on, I live in Arizona. They can reach me at 480-545-9095. I have two websites. One is called miningopportunity.com. There's another one, thechangerevelation.com, that deals specifically with the program that I've described today.
Mm-hmm. Thechangerevelation.com. And your last name is spelled S-E-V-E-R.
Yes, Seaver, K-Seaver, yes.
Uh-huh. K-Seaver, K-A-Y-S-E-V-E-R.
That's right.
And again, that phone number is 480-545-9095.
Correct, thank you.
And the Change Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kay, I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women. You've given us a lot to think about.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy to share all this with the audience. Thank you.
And thank you. Well, you've been listening to today's Inspiring Women, and each week we try to address relevant topics for women. And I always like to end with a quote and an action for the week. And the quote that I have for you today is from Oprah Winfrey, and she says, "Life is about becoming more than we are." And your action for today, or for this week, is to reflect on an area where you would like to become more than you are. Ask yourself the following two questions. What would it look like? And what would I need to do to achieve what it is I want to achieve? Well, until next time, have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.